Hey, it's Heath Mulliken from the Double Dropkick Show. This is the weekly dropkick where every week we jump on here to talk about the latest news in wrestling. We also take your questions and stuff live on Facebook. Today, we're also on Periscope, which is pretty cool, trying that out. And so if you're on Periscope, sorry if the phone's all wonky and everything. So just trying some new things. If you've got questions, I'll try to look at Periscope and Facebook Live if you've got any questions about what I'm talking about, and I'll get to those as quick as I can. So, three topics we're talking about today. Number one, some different Royal Rumble scenarios. Number two, who are going to be the surprise entrants? We did a poll in our Facebook group, and I'll give you the results from that. And thirdly, watching Monday Night Raw, seeing some of the promos. What are some ways that promos have changed from the 80s till today? So let's jump right in. Here are some Royal Rumble scenarios and the WrestleMania matches they could lead to. There are so many rumors going around right now. And one thing you'll find during WrestleMania season is all the writers and all the dirt sheets will throw 100 things at the wall hoping they will stick. And then when one of them does, they'll say, oh yeah, we called it. So for all those writers out there who have called, you know, they put Taker in about 10 different matches, Undertaker. And so if one of them happens to be right, they're going to come back and say, oh yeah, yeah, I was right about that. So one scenario that's been mentioned is Sunday night, John Cena wins the WWE title from AJ Styles, Undertaker wins the Royal Rumble and challenges Cena for the belt at WrestleMania. Some people have debunked this rumor. Some people are saying now Undertaker's retirement match will be at WrestleMania next year. Who knows? That's an interesting scenario. I think everybody pretty much assumes John Cena is going to win the title at Royal Rumble, which leads me to believe that maybe he won't, that something may happen in Elimination Chamber, and I'll talk about that a little bit more in a second. Had to double-check the video, make sure it wasn't Bubba Ray Dudley, ha ha ha. Here's another one. Roman Reigns wins the title from Kevin Owens, the Universal title, wins it at the Royal Rumble. And then something happens with Brock Lesnar and Bill Goldberg. And then somehow they tie. I know that's been done before. This is just something that's been thrown around. But they do all that to get to a three-way match at WrestleMania between Brock Lesnar, Bill Goldberg, and Roman Reigns. Whether it's for the title or not, that's something that's been thrown around. Another thing that's been thrown around is that Randy Orton wins the Royal Rumble. And then at Elimination Chamber, Bray Wyatt wins the title, and your title match at WrestleMania is Bray Wyatt versus Randy Orton. Chris, I see your comment about Kenny Omega. We'll talk about that when we get to surprise entrance. The of all the rumored WrestleMania matches, of all of them, the hundreds of rumored WrestleMania matches, I myself am least excited about the rumored match between AJ Styles and Shane McMahon. Shane McMahon is the textbook definition of a spot monkey. It doesn't matter what you think about spot monkeys, you can like them, you can not like that, but that's just a fact. His punches, not believable. His work, not believable. But you know, you watch his matches. I watch his matches because you know he's going to do something completely insane during his match. But I'm a huge AJ Styles fan. Have not been shy about that over the years. Would love to see him in a match, really, with anybody except Shane McMahon. So Jimmy says Cena wins the title, Taker wins, and they meet at Mania. There you go. Who knows? I'm excited. I don't watch the weekly. I fast forward and watch the high spots of the weekly product because I know Sunday night when I tune into Royal Rumble, I'm gonna get a review of everything that's happened. WWE does a great job of that. So I think it's gonna be an exciting Royal Rumble. This is one, the year Batista came back, we all pretty much knew he was gonna win the Royal Rumble. The year Reigns won, we all pretty much knew he was gonna win the Royal Rumble. Last year, even though he came in number 30, we all pretty much knew Triple H was going to win the Royal Rumble. So who knows? Brandon, good question. The John Cena Samoa Joe match. So I've heard, one thing I heard is that Cena's promo on Monday night, he trashed the indie wrestling. He trashed guys that came up through the indies. One of the rumors is, at the Royal Rumble, so Samoa Joe debuts, takes offense to Cena's comments about that, and that gets us to a Samoa Joe record. Albert says that John Cena shouldn't tie Ric Flair's record. I said it last week, records are meant to be broken. It's all a work. It's not like Joe DiMaggio's 56-game hitting streak. The record is not even 16, as WWE would have you believe. So, I'm excited. I could tell you right now, as a wrestling fan following, I have no idea what they're going to do at WrestleMania. I have no idea what's going to happen at the Royal Rumble, and I like it like that. I like it being unpredictable. I do think Cena's going to beat AJ. I think somewhere down the line, Roman Reigns wins the Universal title. I think Owens versus Jericho is penciled in for WrestleMania. I'm fine with that. I think they would have a tremendous, funny, great program with each other. And I know it would be good because they like working with each other. So it would be really good. Tommy Stanley asked on Facebook Live, did you watch the UK tournament? I was able to watch the first night, and I watched the final match, but I have not watched all of the second night yet. That's something I'm hoping to get to. So let's move on to how many spots are left in the Royal Rumble and who are going to be this year's surprises. So as of right now, according to WWE.com, and all the TV's been put out there, So far, 22 spots have been claimed for the Royal Rumble. There are 8 spots left. 13 spots are from Raw participants. 9 are from SmackDown. It seems to me, leading up to the Royal Rumble, that there has been much more emphasis on the Royal Rumble on Raw than in SmackDown. SmackDown, the push has been the Wyatt storyline and AJ Styles and John Cena. So I tend to, that leads me to believe that, especially with the ending of Raw Monday night. So let me time out. Let's do a timeout. Let's talk about the ending of Raw. You got Brock Lesnar in the ring, Goldberg in the ring, the gong hits, and Undertaker appears. I popped, probably like you did. I mean, it was just a great visual. But then I realized, have I lowered my standards? Have I lowered my standards so much that I'm excited just to see 3 older guys in the ring looking at each other? They didn't even make contact. Like, that's where we're at in wrestling. Is fans will chant, "This is awesome," when guys are just looking at each other. So anyway, I don't have a problem with what they did. I mean, there's some people heard about that bought the Royal Rumble, signed up for the network or whatever. I enjoyed it. I'm just saying I thought twice about it. So some of the people are saying Nia Jax is going to be the surprise entrance. Some people are saying Ty Dillinger at number 10. Some people are saying, one person said, I'm sorry, I don't remember who. said Samoa Joe and Nakamura are going to wrestle at the Royal Rumble. I don't think that's going to happen. I would love to see either one of them. So we did a poll on our Facebook group. Number one, who's going to be a surprise entry into the Royal Rumble? Number one with 43 votes, Samoa Joe. Number two with 24 votes, Finn Balor, who was examined by doctors either Wednesday or Thursday. Haven't heard back. I heard, you know, some rumors online saying he was not cleared to wrestle, which is not a big surprise. He's still a month or two away from coming back. Still very possible for him to be at WrestleMania. Kurt Angle, 17. Let me say something about Kurt Angle and Kenny Omega. The fact that they have both come out and publicly said they're not going to be in the Royal Rumble, they're not going to WWE, Kenny Omega says he's not coming to WWE, makes me hit the pause button. Now, because of his contract, Kenny Omega cannot be in the Royal Rumble. His contract with New Japan does not expire until Tuesday. Kurt Angle, who knows, but Kurt Angle got 17 votes. Shinsuke Nakamura, 11 votes. Kane got 11 votes. Kane is going to be in the Royal Rumble. I may be wrong about that, but I would almost guarantee Kane is in the Royal Rumble. Kenny Omega got 10 votes. Roman Reigns, 7 votes. John Cena, 6 votes. Bobby Roode, 5 votes. Daniel Bryan got 2 votes. Paul London got 3 votes. So I think it's going to be very interesting. Jared on Facebook Live thinks that Omega is swerving us. Could very well be. Who knows what's going through his mind right now. Either way, he's going to get a payday. And he has worked social media. He has worked the regular media. He's worked the wrestling media. And I'd be interested to know how when Wrestling Observer Dave Meltzer put out yesterday that Omega was going to be live on there. I'm sure they got I don't know if it's a big bump, but I'm sure they had some people sign up for a subscription. I really don't like Nick Evans says, I really don't like Kevin Owens. Just think he's a fat, hairy, pig-faced wrestler with no entertaining personality. I could not disagree with you more. I am very entertained by Kevin Owens. Your views on The Undertaker, you think he wins the main event, his last WrestleMania against Cena. I think Undertaker, his last match is at WrestleMania next year, and Undertaker is old school enough to go out losing. That's just kind of the tradition. I wish Sting would be in the Rumble as a surprise, but doubt he would since he's retired. However, legends do appear from time to time. Sting is not would can't even be cleared to wrestle. Kenny Omega's inflatable doll could be in the Royal Rumble. Undertaker needs hip surgery. He's trying to wait it out. Jared, Undertaker already had hip surgery several months ago. Owens was better in ROH. He was a different character in ROH. That's what's great about Kevin Owens. He's been that sadistic heel, and now we've seen him as the funny heel. Sting is not retired. Sting cannot wrestle again without neck surgery, so that pretty much makes him retired. I think that's what he said at his Hall of Fame induction. Would I like to see CM Punk show up? Could not care less about CM Punk. Could not. I mean, if his music hit, I would pop, but I'm not holding my breath. Broderick says he hopes they put AJ over this Sunday. Me too. I love AJ. What about Flair? Flair is retired as well. Flair's not going to be. CM Punk would only be last minute, according to Albert Moss. I think CM Punk is. You never say never. I think he's, you know, pretty happy with his life and getting beat up for real in UFC. And, hey, I've said it on the podcast. Mark and I both said it. We have a ton of respect for CM Punk doing what he did. He tried something. He got his butt whipped. I mean, he got his butt kicked. But he got paid. And he didn't get injured. And do I think Goldberg would go undefeated? I guess you're talking about in his comeback. Somebody's asking on Periscope if I speak Portuguese. Sorry, I don't speak Portuguese. Getting a lot of hearts, though, on Periscope. Do I think Goldberg will go undefeated, Dave? No. I don't know, because Goldberg, he and Lesnar are great businessmen. Goldberg, you know, liked the reaction he got. He is signed for more matches. He's going to be doing, someone said that it's in his contract to go undefeated. That's ridiculous. Vince McMahon would not sign someone. Vince McMahon signs people to do a job. And sometimes that means winning. Sometimes that means losing. Come on, try some Portuguese. I mean, my Spanish. Let's see. Me amo Heath Mulligan. What do I think is going to be the main event at WrestleMania? That's a good question. That's a really good question. Somebody asked about the 40-man Royal Rumble. I saw a tweet last night from a guy named Emil J, who works with CZW and some other, you know, he does commentary for some other wrestling organizations. And he said, man, you could have 60 people in the Royal Rumble and it would be fine. And I think that would be awesome. I think you got enough people now, you could do a Raw Royal Rumble, a SmackDown Royal Rumble, and a Women's Royal Rumble. That would be cool. I mean, that'd be a 3-hour show. I don't know if they got enough. They could find 30 women to put in a female Royal Rumble. They should use Goldberg's momentum to build up a young guy. That's what they should have done with Lesnar when he beat The Undertaker. And I think what they were hoping was Lesnar beats The Undertaker, and then at some point Reigns was going to take out Lesnar and get the rub from the streak, and it just didn't work out. Do I think AJ Styles is going to switch to Raw after WrestleMania? I think they're going to do the draft, and who knows? What do I think about Mickie James' future in WWE? I don't. I haven't thought about her future in WWE at all. Tough to use part-time guys to get anyone over. I kind of agree and I kind of disagree. Because Goldberg and Lesnar are over, and you could definitely, you know, use their momentum, use their visibility, use their public, their public popularity, to do that. Should WWE try to bring back War Games? Really hard to do. It's really hard to find the arenas. Plus, you do those two rings, it takes up a lot of space. Should they? Would I love to see it? I'm going to say no. Because War Games without blood is ridiculous. And just wouldn't be believable at all, in my personal opinion. And Vince has said, I mean, it's been widely reported, he doesn't like anything with two rings. I think somebody mentioned that on another podcast, Roll Tide. All right. Let me get into my third topic, and then I'll take some more questions. So I was thinking about this the other night. I was thinking about Goldberg's promo. Goldberg came out, and I felt like, Goldberg messed up his promo. But as I've been going back and watching a lot of 1988 wrestling, that's just what guys used to do. But they rolled with it. They roll with it. I mean, I've been watching some number one Paul Jones promos with the Powers of Pain. And it's like a lot of those promos, they just kind of go on a little too long, but that they were trying to, you know. So for Goldberg to kind of stop and catch his breath, acknowledge. And now let me ask this. Why is Goldberg always out of breath and sweating so bad? I mean, that is, that's just crazy. But I was thinking about Goldberg's promo and promos today. So here's three differences or three ways promos have changed since the 1980s. And I am comparing primarily to NWA, WCW. So in the 1980s, the promos were not in the ring. And when you did a promo, you also were not face-to-face with your opponent. Because for me, if I see two guys who are supposed to not like each other, who are supposed to want to fight, and you put them in the ring, and there's no physicality, and there's no fight, I kind of lose myself. Because to me, the point of being, for me to believe a wrestler, is they're not supposed to be all talk. I mean, unless they're a heel, but to see somebody who's supposed to be a babyface in there just being all talk and not taking any action against this person that is putting them down and putting the city down. So I prefer having promos that aren't face-to-face. Because if guys are going to be in the ring, I just think they ought to be hitting each other. That's just, but that's one way things have changed, is promos have gone from being ringside or at a little area to now they're all in the ring. Number two, if you go back and watch, I've been watching a lot of the Saturday night 605 shows from TBS. In the 1980s, promos were always pushing upcoming house shows. Jim Cornette was great at this. I mean, he would, I was watching the other night, and he cut a promo, and they went to commercial, and he came back, and there was one of the dates he had forgot to mention, so he cut a whole nother promo. And they just would, they would tell you the date, and they would tell you the, you know, where they were going to be, because they were, they used the TV. The TV was an advertisement to get people to the live events. That's where they made their money. They had to talk people into the building. To me, this is a lost art in wrestling today. Very rarely do indie wrestling promotions. And I know us with Three Count Pro Wrestling, we are trying to do a better job of talking people into the building. But now, there is no TV time. No TV time given to promoting house shows, because now they make all their money from the TV and not from the house shows. House shows today are just kind of a throwaway thing. They don't really, I don't think they're losing money on them, but I'd be interested to see what their, how that affects their revenue stream if they just cut them out. That would be interesting. So, and the third thing, and people talk about scripted promos all the time. So in the 80s, the promos weren't scripted, but guys were given several talking points. If you go back and you watch early 1988, Mark and I are going to talk about when we review it, you know who's giving them their talking points. Because everybody talks about the same person. All right? Everybody is pointing out the same person. And you got to go back and figure it out. You can figure out who it is. It's pretty easy. But guys had talking points. And typically it was, there was the guy they were feuding with. There was the upcoming live event. And then they would call out a champion or a belt that they didn't have. And so today, for most of the guys, the whole promo is written out long form. You can go online. If you do a search for WWE script, you can see how they're written out in this long format. And it's word for word. And you can see where guys are trying to say it. word for word. And they don't have two or three main points. Most of the time, promos today, I don't know what the point is. I really don't know what the point is. Now, with, you know, you got John Cena and AJ Styles Tuesday night on SmackDown. They're trying to sell that Royal Rumble match. And so they went back and forth. And I thought they did a pretty good job. But promos have definitely changed. I don't know that we're going back. Most, a lot of these younger guys in WWE, I don't know how they would do. Cutting a promo is a lot harder than people realize. And when you're live and you can't do multiple takes, it's a pretty crazy thing to see. Mark and I purchased Jim Cornette's Lost Tapes collection. And one of the most fascinating things on there for me was a promo that they did with Ric Flair as he was arriving to a private airport in a limousine. Now, it's funny because they had to use a wired mic. And it wasn't like a wired handheld mic. It was like a wired lapel mic. So Ric Flair, the car pulls up. You see the microphone wire hanging out of the car. And Ric Flair gets out and he's holding this little bitty lapel mic. And he literally has to do four or five takes of this promo. Now, this is Ric Flair in his early days, late 70s, early 80s. But it's like, man, I've never seen Ric Flair mess up a promo. And he does. I mean, he has to do a couple of takes, and you see him. And so, the way they do the promos now live, it's just a different beast. So I've been missing. Somebody mentioned Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin's in the Royal Rumble. I think Baron Corbin. He's got to do something about his hair. He's got to shave his head. You know, he's fighting that Hulk Hogan male pattern baldness. Something about him. Now, he's believable. Very believable. I thought what he said about the Undertaker that, you know, Undertaker said he's going to bury 29 bodies and you know, the world needs ditch diggers. Thought that was great. But Baron Corbin, there's something about his look. He just looks weird to me. From the hair, his pants, just weird to me. Ivan asked a question. Ivan Arias on Facebook Live. Totally off the subject, but that's okay. Who was a better tag team, Harlem Heat or Hollywood Blondes? The easy answer is, excuse me, not the easy answer. There's not an easy answer. You gotta give the nod to Harlem Heat. Now, had the Hollywood Blondes stay together for an extended run, then they were both great tag teams. I would have loved to see a long run from the Hollywood Blondes. Saw them live, and Mark Whitman said to me, pointing at Steve Austin, "That guy's going to be the biggest star in wrestling." I said, "You're out of your mind." So anyway, thoughts on Clemson-Louisville budding rivalry. Well, to have a budding rivalry, Brian, both teams need to win. And right now there's only one team winning. Phillip is hoping for a Kenny Omega debut. Dave, promos now have nothing on the promos in the late 70s, early 80s. Let me give you a little pushback on that, Dave. Like I mentioned earlier, a lot of the promos back in the late 70s, early 80s were not live. They were able to do multiple takes. Paddy Power, shout out from Ireland. We got people from Ireland watching this. I got somebody on Periscope asking me to speak Portuguese. We got people in Ireland. We're worldwide, baby. So, yes, the promos were more believable back then. But I believe that if the WWE would do more backstage promos where they could do a little editing, have a couple of takes, I think you would see a definite improvement. I think the guys get out there. Look, I mean, Goldberg got out there. never known for his promos. He just completely forgot what he was supposed to say the other night. John Jed Edwards says, should Tatanka be in the Hall of Fame? Sure. Tatanka's a memorable character. Pretty much everybody's going to be in the Hall of Fame, I think. Bray's the best right now at promos. Bray's really good at promos. Really believable, I think. Most fans think Bray's good at promos because they're not writing his promos. I don't know who's getting their promos and who's not. I just know that the guys like Steve Austin, who take what the writers give them and go off of that and then make it their own, don't go word for word, those are the guys who are successful. And I think Kevin Steen and Chris Jericho both have the great ability to do that, and to me that's why they're so entertaining. Cena would have probably drawn a lot more viewers to SmackDown if it still aired on Fridays, mainly because Friday night is not a school night. Can you really say Cena hadn't been on SmackDown a lot this year? He's been gone. Do I think British Bulldog should be in the Hall of Fame? Yes, he should be. He do his own, Broderick. I don't know who you're talking about. If you're talking about Bray Wyatt, they're giving him something. Bray Wyatt is not going out there without something from the writers. Like I said, he may not be saying it word for word, but what he's saying is approved. What does Raw need right now that could help them to be as good as SmackDown? Number one, go to 2 hours. Yes, Brian Kanabrowski, absolutely. Bullet points are all that's needed. And that's absolutely. I mean, that's, you got to let guys and gals use their you got to let them use their own personalities. You got to let them develop their character. That's why, as far as, you know, what we do with Three Count Pro Wrestling, you know, promos are a big part of what we're doing. There are a lot of independent promotions. Promos and storylines are not what they're doing. They just bring in guys to have matches. And my response to that is, if you're an independent wrestler and a promoter's not giving you a chance to show all your skills, they're not helping you get to that next level. That's just my take. What if WWE? Should Dynamite Kid be in the Hall of Fame? Sure, as part of the British Bulldogs, that would be fine. What if WWF let Kane win WrestleMania 14? I don't get that reference. I don't know who he. Do I like Goldberg? I don't really have an opinion on Goldberg. He's always exciting to watch. Will Sister Abigail make her debut? Maybe. Brian says, we give our guys bullet points. PWX carries the storylines through those promos. You know, I've said it before. I've said it many times. In the Carolinas, PWX is the standard right now. In my opinion, for independent wrestling, and when Three Count is thinking about what we're trying to do, you know, we're looking at what PWX does. So you can go, if you, PWX Pro Wrestling, or Brian, type in your, I don't know their website off the top of my head, but they got a huge show coming up February 19th at Cabarrus Arena. You need to check all their stuff out. If you don't live in the Southeast and haven't seen PWX, I would really encourage you. Some of their stuff's on YouTube. They're on the High Spots Network as well. All right. Sister Abigail, don't know if she's made. Jared asks, if you were in charge of the next draft, who would I draft for each brand that could make them balanced? That's a whole episode, Jared. So I would encourage you, DoubleDropKick.com. Mark and I did a draft for this year's brand extension. They didn't do anything we said. Would I prefer Roman as a heel or face right now? I say heel. I would prefer Roman to be himself. I think Roman is a natural heel. But I don't know what you can do with him at this point. I don't know who he can beat or go up against. The questions today from Facebook Live are all over the board. Do you agree that the Montreal screw job was the night that the world was introduced to the Mr. McMahon character? I think yes, that night and the next night. I don't think that that's in dispute. I didn't know that that was a question. PWXPro.com. PWXPro.com is where you can get find out more about PWX. Again, great, great stuff. The spring will be stupid for us. Yeah, I mean, keep your eyes on those guys. Who is the greatest heel I have ever seen? This is from Ivan. Greatest heel I've ever seen. That's a really good question. That's a really, really good question. Greatest heel I have ever seen. I have to come back to you on that. I might have to go with Nikita Koloff just because of my age and when he came in and he had just started when I first started watching wrestling. And I believe that guy was from Russia, and I believe he could kill everybody, and I believed it. And that's back when, you know, guys did stuff like that. So, I mean, Nikita Koloff would get my vote. I would love to see Bliss versus Charlotte. Yes, that's great. Okay. Michael Triple says maybe they should make Goldberg like he was early on in WCW when Kick Butt yet never said a word on the mic. See, I disagree with you. I think WCW messed up because this Goldberg who's kind of like a superhero, not superhero in the sense he's beating everybody, but superhero, just his first promo was very heartfelt. It was very emotional. It was very believable because it was real. And I think Goldberg, I'd say the same thing about him about Roman. Let Goldberg be himself. Goldberg wants to be a hero to the kids. One of the dumbest things they did was trying to turn him heel. So I think Goldberg, deep down, is a natural face in that he wants to be a hero to the kids. Roman's a natural heel because he's just that kind of guy. Brian, I'm looking forward to that. Brian says, mark my words, going to catch everybody sleeping. That's awesome to hear. Gerald Robinson, favorite woman wrestler. That's a really good question. I don't know that I have a favorite. I'm just going to be honest. This is no disrespect to the fine women who wrestle. It's just not my cup of tea. Just not my thing. Who is my favorite diva? Don't really have a favorite diva. Philip McKendrick says Kabuki. Kabuki, let me tell you, Philip, if you get on your Google machine and you go to, you just type in Dusty Rhodes and Kabuki. Great promo from Dusty Rhodes. Great, great promo. Kabuki, are you an assassin? It's just great. It's just great. Brian, absolutely no problem. I would love to see more independent promotions here in the South work together. We're all on the same team. We're all trying to make ends meet. We're all trying, I mean, really, if we're being honest, we're all trying to get these guys to the show. That's the deal. So, absolutely. I'm hoping to come up. Not going to be able to make it to February the 19th, but hoping to come up to some more PWX shows. I don't like to say it, but in terms of heat, I think Vicky Guerrero is the greatest hero of all time. I would not agree with that. What's the worst gimmick? What's the worst WWE gimmick you've ever seen? Oh, man. Gobbledygooker. Boogeyman was pretty terrible. Red Rooster. Yeah. That would be the start of my list. Who, Philip McKendrick asked, who in NXT needs to make the move up? Nakamura. I'd say right now it's Nakamura and Samoa Joe and the Revival. I think those, would love to see the Revival on the main roster. Okay, Brian Kanabraski asked, opinion on Booker versus booking committee. Man, that's a good question. I think when you're in a situation where some of the boys have helped start the promotion, then I think they do need to have some input in a committee type setting. And that's kind of what, you know, I've worked with before. I have been in a situation, I mean, I've only been in the wrestling business 18 months. So I'm very new. I probably say things I shouldn't say and let the cat out of the bag too much because I just don't know. I'm still learning. I love it. But I've had somebody pull the booker card, or excuse me, pull the promoter card on me where it was supposed to be a two-man committee, or excuse me, a three-man committee. And somehow, because somebody was the licensed promoter, they got a bigger vote. And so you have your committee meeting, you decide on everything, and then you get a call. Well, I talked to so-and-so, we're going to change this. And so I think even if it's one booker, even if it's just one guy, and I think I would love to see one day my man Mark Whitman. I say this all the time on our episodes. Mark Whitman has one of the sharpest minds I have ever heard in wrestling. And my goal, I mean, I believe Mark Whitman, he's an Ole Anderson type booker. I mean, he's not going to handle, I mean, these guys that come in, it's like, well, I don't want to. I mean, Mark's just going to be like, hit the road then. But I long for the day when Mark Whitman is in a promotion and has the book and is able to just let his vision go. I think it would be a great, fantastic blend of old and new. His wrestling acumen is so much better than mine. And to be honest, I love thinking of ideas, but really my role is, how do we put this on camera? How do we present this to the public? So if you're in upstate South Carolina, February 25th, you know, Three Count Pro Wrestling's first show of the year, we're doing a YouTube taping. And it's not going to be like anything. It's a pretty ambitious undertaking for us. It's like nothing we've ever done before. We're doing more matches than we've ever done before. We're filming things in a different way. It's going to have an old school feel to it where we do those ringside interviews, those ringside promos. I'm really excited about it. And I don't think I answered Brian's question. I think there are pros and cons to both. And I think because if it's one person, if they're not a worker, they're not involved in any of the storylines, then I think that's okay. But I mean, it's really hard for somebody who is working to be the booker and not try to get themselves over. Everybody starts on the raw roster. Who deserves the biggest push? Let me ask this question. All the time I hear people say, well, so-and-so deserves this. So-and-so deserved a title run. How do you qualify who deserves the biggest push? Do you go by talent? Because talent is part of it. Wrestling talent in the ring. Promo talent's the thing. But who's showing up on time? Who will, when you call them and say, hey, we need you to be at this radio station at 5 o'clock in the morning to do this 5-minute interview, who's going to be there? I mean, there's a lot of factors into who gets a push, who's selling merchandise, it's all about the money. So who deserves a push? They're all getting paid. You are getting paid to do a job. So at McDonald's, who deserves a promotion? Well, it's whoever does the best job. All right. Who decides who's doing the best job? The manager. All right. Do people come into McDonald's and say, "Hey, Jerry back here on the grill, he deserves a promotion." But in wrestling, you know, in a dream match, who would win on their best day? Kurt Angle versus Bret Hart. Whoever told them, you know, whoever picked somebody to win. I mean, people ask questions like that all the time. Who would win between so-and-so and so-and-so? Whoever was told to win. That's who would win. Do you think it's smart to have the Lesnar-Goldberg match so soon after he, Goldberg, returned in 2016? I thought it was pretty brilliant. I think they played it pretty well so far. I think the Swing King, I guess that's Cesaro. Cesaro deserves a push. Ricky Morton, a great wrestling mind. Rock and Roll Express needs to be immortalized for their awesome distribution to pro wrestling. Yes, I think Rock and Roll Express probably gets into the Hall of Fame eventually. Would love to see Rock and Roll Express and the Midnight Express go in at the same time. That would be phenomenal. That would be fitting. That's just my personal take on it. So we steered far away from great questions. Love the questions. So everybody that asked questions today, I really do appreciate that. More questions and live viewers than we've gotten in a long time. Who is the greatest ring manager in WWE history? My initial reaction is Bobby the Brain Heenan. Gary Hart. Man, Gary Hart may be the most underrated manager of all time simply because casual fans never mention him in the greatest manager conversation. You go back, Gary Hart, man, so good. Such a great wrestling mind. Just really, really, really good. And I'm excited, you know, we're reviewing WCW 1988-1989. I'm in the process of watching that when Gary Hart returns with the Great Muta. So I'm pretty excited to be watching all that because I missed a lot of that when I was growing up because I didn't have cable because I was a poor farm boy. So, all right, we'll take a couple of more questions here. Managers are missed greatly, basically because everybody talks on their own. If WWE was hiring managers, okay, I mean, just going to be honest. If I knew that WWE was having a manager tryout anywhere in the country next weekend, manager tryouts, I would go. I would do whatever I needed to do, sell what I needed to sell to get a plane ticket and get there. I was able to be a manager one night, got to cut an in-ring promo and killed the promotion. Promotion never ran again after that night. So I did fulfill my dream of being a manager, managed a tag team in a match, loved it. It was absolutely awesome. There's no record of it on the internet because the promotion didn't record it. They didn't film it. Dogs are going nuts. What in the world? Who let the dogs out? Michael Triple asked, do I think they should have pushed Cesaro more after WrestleMania 30? Yeah. I guess that was the year he won the Battle Royal. Yeah. They don't know what to do with Cesaro. They just don't know. Who's the best technical wrestler right now and all time? What do you mean? What do you mean by that? The guy who does the moves the best? The guy who does the most moves? That's a good question. I mean, Luthez, some of those guys, because technically they could break you in half if they wanted to. They could stretch you. So to me, if you're meaning technical in that, they can do a bunch of chain wrestling spots at the beginning and then flip. I don't know that I would consider that technical. Although it may be technically good, I don't know that I would consider that technical. So I think technical is one of those terms that means different things to to different people. So, all right. Well, again, I thank everybody for supporting. Okay, Ivan clarifies. Who could move quickly and move the best? It's a good question. You see, okay. So I think about somebody like Ricky Steamboat. And I think about how fast Ricky Steamboat was. And then I think about... I think about watching the Young Bucks a few weeks ago. And I don't care what you think about the Young Bucks. They work fast. You compare a Young Bucks, and I'm just talking about the speed of it. All right? We don't have to debate whether you like it or not. You compare a Young Bucks match, the speed of a Young Bucks match. And I'm not, the speed of how they move and one move to the other. So much faster. So, man, I don't really know how to answer that question. Who's the best technical wrestler of all time? Hey, listen. Please, if you're watching this or listening to this, I appreciate all the questions. You can go to doubledropkick.com. That's our website. You can find all our episodes. You can also, here's what we need. This is what I need you to do while you're listening. As soon as this video is done in about 2 minutes, I need you to go to iTunes. Go to the podcast app. If you got an iPhone, you go to the podcast app. You click on it. Search for the Double Dropkick Show. Subscribe. Download those. Download the episodes. Give us a review. You might be saying, Heath, I don't have an iPhone. You could do it on iTunes on your computer. Maybe you got an Android phone. Stitcher, the Stitcher radio app. Again, search for the Double Dropkick Show. Subscribe. Download. We're also on Google Play. Subscribe. Download, give us a listen. the more downloads we get, we're able to go to sponsors. That's what we're working for. And right now, you guys, we're asking you guys to be our sponsors. We're asking you guys, you know, we're trying to put out a lot of great content. Mark, right now, today, is going to be doing a live video just for our patrons. So if you go to patreon.com, that's patreon.com/doubledropkick. You can financially support our show. We have a lot of expenses. We have hosting expenses. We're putting up more episodes, so our hosting costs have gone up. Again, because we're trying to put out quality content. So for as little as $1 a month, you get in that patron group, and Mark posts great stuff, old school stuff you are not going to find anywhere else. You will find in that patron group. And then there's different levels. Hey, $1 a month. And I guarantee you, the videos that Mark does in there is worth way more than $1 a month. But that's all you got to start out with. So patreon.com/doubledropkick. That's what we need you to do. So thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We'll be back on here next Friday with the weekly dropkick, probably reviewing the Royal Rumble, probably have a little clear idea of who's going to be wrestling at WrestleMania, and talking about some other stuff, too. Thanks, Brian. Brian's a patron, and thank you for your support. And like I said, we'd love to have you guys partner with us and be a part of the Double Dropkick Show family. We're, you know, this is our year. I mean, this is the year we're taking things to a different level. We're not even done with this month yet. This is our best month ever as far as downloads, and we're just asking you to help make that even better. So, hey, this show would have been about 20 minutes without your great questions on here. Thanks to everybody. Again, don't forget, if you're looking for great wrestling in the Southeast, 3countpro.com and pwxpro.com, two great companies you can support. So, hey, as always, for the Double Dropkick Show, this is Heath Mulliken, and we'll see you as soon as I figure out how to turn off these three videos at the same time. So y'all have a good one.